content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Diane Edelman for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Reader's Digest. Today's program is supported by the Durham Lions Club. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the Reader's Digest. Our first article is the cover story, When It Comes to Love, People Will Do Just About Anything. Here are 9 stories of loving spouses, parents, children, and friends by Reader's Digest editors. A Husband Surprises His Wife by Kathy Free. Andrew Duhay wanted to do something special to celebrate the 40th birthday of his wife, Jennifer Duhay, and jewelry or flowers wouldn't cut it. The couple, who work for the Navy and have 3 children, find the time to volunteer every weekend at Chesapeake Animal Services in Chesapeake, Virginia. It was during one of those visits that Andrew hit on the perfect idea. The animal shelter had 40 dog kennels that were always full. What if he were to pay the $110 adoption fees for all 40 dogs? Although it would cost $4,400 to cover the cost of spaying and neutering, microchipping, and vaccinating 40 dogs, Andrew knew the gift would mean more to his wife than anything he could buy in a store. They had recently lost one of their 3 beloved dogs, Sierra, and he thought sponsoring the adoptions to help so many shelter dogs find forever homes would help cheer Jennifer up. More than anything, she wants all dogs to find good homes, says Andrew. The shelter has a guardian angel program where anyone can sponsor a dog's adoption fees. We'd sponsored 1 or 2 before, so why not 40? Jennifer's birthday was November 13, but Andrew said he was worried that word might get out about his surprise because he had gone to the shelter a few days earlier to pay the fees. So on November 12, 2024, he summoned the kids and asked them to help deliver an early birthday present to their mom before she got out of bed. I had to smile because Andrew always gets excited about giving gifts and has trouble waiting until the actual date, Jennifer says. First, they presented her with a custom-designed insulated mug featuring a message of love in Sierra's memory. Then they gave her a birthday card with a heartfelt letter tucked inside. I'm reading this beautiful note with lots of mushy love stuff, and at the bottom he had written that he paid the adoption fees for 40 dogs, Jennifer said. I just cried and cried. That's because she knows how much these dogs have suffered. If the shelter is overcrowded or there are animals with special medical needs, we'll take them in, she says, noting that their family has fostered more than 12 dogs and cats over the past year. Right now, we're caring for a little dog that was severely starved. She has this obsession with stuffed animals, so my daughter named her Squishy. Casey Gallardo, outreach coordinator for Chesapeake Animal Services, says she was stunned when Andrew told her he wanted to pay the fees for every dog in the adoption kennels. We've never had anyone pay for so many before, she says. Andrew's gift made it possible to bring more dogs up from the back of the shelter. For every dog adopted, you're actually saving 2, Gallardo says, explaining that the shelter has overflow kennels for when too many dogs are brought in and there aren't enough foster homes. I was incredibly touched that Andrew did something on that large of a scale, knowing what matters the most to me, Jennifer says. It's honestly the most sentimental and perfect gift I've ever gotten. A Friend Answers the Call. Kristen Cruz knew better than most that her friend of 20-plus years, Stephanie Zimmerer, was not one to drop everything and travel 1,500 miles on a whim. But then she called Zimmerer with startling news. Her mother, Sandra Thompson, who had been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer 2 years earlier, had just days to live. Her last wish? to see Cruz marry her longtime partner, Tyler Butler. They have two kids together. Neither had been in a rush to tie the knot, but fulfilling her mother's wish was now top of mind. So Cruz frantically tried to pull together a wedding ceremony in just 3 days. Though she desperately wanted her friend close by, seeing how fast things were moving, Cruz told Zimmerer to forget about coming to the wedding, but asked her to please watch the ceremony on FaceTime from her home in Nebraska. If she couldn't be there physically, she could be there in spirit. Zimmerer said no, she wouldn't watch the ceremony on FaceTime, but she would fly down for the wedding. "I just wanted to bring any bit of joy I could to a somber time," Zimmerer told People magazine. A couple of days later, Zimmerer flew to Florida. After a long, emotional embrace that featured plenty of tears, Cruz put her friend to work. After all, they had a wedding to put on. Zimmerer ran numerous errands and made sure Cruz had everything she needed, from the big stuff to the small, like toothpaste. On the big day, she served as the usher, showing guests to their seats, and then as the flower girl. The intimate ceremony and dinner, with just a handful of invited guests, took place in the backyard of Cruz's mother and stepfather. During the ceremony, her mom was set up in the spare bedroom by a large window, where she was able to hear some, see most, and feel all of the love in her backyard, says Cruz, who became Kristen Butler that day. A few days later, Sandra Thompson passed away. Kristen Butler has called her wedding day the best, worst day of my life because of all the swirling emotions, happy and sad. But she got through it, in no small part thanks to her longtime friend. "I needed her clear head to think for my own," she says. "I needed her encouraging words. I needed her hugs. I needed her to tell me stories to remind me of good times. I needed her to tell my mother goodbye. I just needed her soul there with mine. She will never, ever know how much her being here meant to me and my family." A husband and a fiancé go all in on wedding rings. One problem with buttered popcorn, and there are not many, is that it leaves a slimy, albeit delicious, film on your hands. Just ask Steve and Janine Van Easeldijk. The couple from Mission, British Columbia, were eating a bag of the stuff on their lawn when they spilled some. Janine picked up the dropped popcorn and tossed it into a compost heap. Then she and Steve finished off the rest of the popcorn. The next day, she discovered that her engagement and wedding rings were missing from her finger. After looking everywhere, it dawned on the couple that the rings must have slid off her finger into the compost heap when Janine tossed in the popcorn. No problem, they'd just sift through it. But the village had already picked up the compost. Steve is nothing if not determined. The next day he drove to the landfill and asked if he could sift through the 18 tons of compost to look for his wife's rings, as if this were a request made every day. "My brain was trying to figure out a way to tell him to go buy his wife new rings," landfill contractor Debbie Webster told CTV News in Canada. But Webster is a nice guy, and not only gave him the thumbs up, but also used an excavator to create smaller piles, making it easier for Steve to rummage through the rot and slime. Slowly, Steve began to recognize his garbage. "My popcorn bag! My sausages!" he shouted out excitedly, as if running into old friends. Miraculously, he found the engagement ring, and an hour later, the wedding ring, both covered in slippery popcorn butter. Steve immediately called Janine, who sobbed for joy. "Not just because he'd found the rings, but," said Janine, grinning, "because I know how much he loves me, that he's willing to go through a rotten, stinky compost pile." Steve Van Easeldijk was not the only one digging around for a diamond. Once Michelle Fox and her boyfriend Trevor Ballou decided to get hitched, Fox, who had just finished a master's program in management at Fordham University in New York City, packed her tent, cot, and tools, and decamped to Crater of Diamonds State Park in Arkansas. Since 1972, some 35,000 diamonds have been discovered at the park, and Fox was determined to find a diamond 35,001 for her wedding ring. It was slow-going and tough physical work. After 3 weeks of digging and poking, Fox was ready to pack it in. Then a shiny object in the dirt, the size of a human tooth, caught her eye. She doubted it was the real deal, but she picked it up, dusted it off, and had it appraised at the park's office. Jackpot! It was a white diamond, weighing in at 2.3 carats, they told her. One gemologist put its worth at up to $50,000. Going to all the trouble of finding this gem was a no-brainer, Fox told CBS News. It allowed her to prove a point to her fiancé. This was a perfect opportunity for me to make a commitment about who I want to be in a relationship. A skateboarder honors her stepfather. The old saw about the evil stepparent certainly didn't apply to Roger McElroy. He made a point of being a positive presence in the life of his stepdaughter, Brooke Johnson. At times when life threw screwballs at Johnson, McElroy was there to pick her up. During one trying time, he left her a voicemail that said, "Everything's gonna be fine. We'll get through it." In 2024, McElroy suffered a fall that left him a quadriplegic. 3.5 weeks later, he died of those injuries. But before that, while keeping vigil by his bedside, Johnson shared with McElroy her dream of becoming the first woman to skateboard across the country. He wanted to be a part of it, and they planned that she would push him in his wheelchair across the finish line. She wasn't sure she could pull it off, but McElroy had faith in her. "I was like, Roger, it's a big country." And he was like, "Well, you can do it," Johnson told Good Morning America. After McElroy's death, Johnson, then 29, chose to honor him by becoming the first woman to skateboard across the country. Along the way, she would raise money for Wings for Life, a nonprofit that supports research into spinal cord injuries. Accompanied by an RV and a video crew, and wearing a locket around her neck that held McElroy's ashes, she began her journey last April at California's Santa Monica Beach. Destination? Virginia Beach, 3,266 miles away. Averaging 30 to 50 miles a day, Johnson's ride across America took her up and down mountains, past wheat fields and through cities, in rain and blistering heat. Through it all, Roger McElroy was riding with her. "Everything's going to be fine. We'll get through it." On August 15, after 119 days, Johnson arrived at the Atlantic Ocean. No one was more surprised than Johnson that she had completed what she'd started, while raising $50,000 for Wings for Life. She told ABC News, "Roger left me purpose, and for that, I thank him every day." A Wife Risks Her Life by Adila Matra. On a misty February morning in 2025, retired police officer and part-time farmer Ramasan Nair E.K. and his wife, P.K. Padmam, made their way across their plot of land in a small town called Piravam in southern India, where they had joined relatives to harvest black pepper. Soon, Ramasan, a fit 64-year-old, was climbing atop a Mexican lilac tree poised precariously close to the family well. He plucked peppers from the vines that wound around its trunk, while Padmam, 56, worked nearby. Then came a sharp, crackling sound piercing the quiet morning. The branch beneath Ramasan snapped, and he lost his balance. He plunged into the 40-foot well below, striking his head and back against the wall on the way down. Podmom heard the crash, then the terrifying splash. She rushed to the well and peered down into the blackness. She called her husband's name. His faint voice echoed back. He was all right. Scrambling, she found a plastic rope and lowered it into the well for him to climb back up. For a few seconds, she waited for a response. Then he cried out, "I can't. I'm too weak, and my leg is hurt." Podmom went into rescue mode. She grabbed the thick rope attached to the well's pulley system. As she tied one end of the rope to a nearby tree, she ordered a relative to call the fire department. After tying the other end of the rope around her waist, Podmom climbed onto the lip of the well and rappelled down. The moss-covered wall was slick, and her feet kept sliding off. Meanwhile, the rope was cutting into her hands, leaving her palms bloody. Midway down, Podmom lost her grip. She tumbled, landing on a ledge jutting out from the well's interior. The impact left her breathless. As she caught her breath, she peered down into the blackness, hoping to catch sight of Ramasan. But she couldn't see or hear anything. "I saw only water," she says. With no time to think, she jumped. The waist-high water was cold, teeming with unseen creatures that she could feel around her. Fish, frogs, insects, and small snakes. Podmom groped blindly until her hand brushed against her husband's shoulder. He was unconscious and slipping down, his face just skimming the water. Neither Podmom nor Ramasan is large, but each one's average size and build belie a farmer's strength, which comes from working the fields. Marshaling her strength, Podmom lifted her husband and propped him up against the wall of the well, ensuring that his head stayed above the water. She leaned into him, hoping to hear a pulse or a breath, something to indicate he was alive. Then she felt it, a breath. It was faint, but it would do. "I am with you," she told him. "I won't let you go." Ramasan slowly opened his eyes. Together, they waited. 40 feet up, the scene was abuzz. The fire department had arrived, and first responders were now lowering a rescue basket into the well. Podmom helped her husband into the basket, then watched as he was lifted inch by inch. With Ramasan safe, it was Podmom's turn. Miraculously, the couple sustained no major injuries, and the day that had begun like any other misty February morning ended as a lasting reminder. Love that fierce will descend into darkness, only to rise again. A son repays a debt. As Sho Dewan and his wife Janet Fong sat down with his parents at the dining table in their cozy single-story home in the Los Angeles suburbs last May, the elder Dewans were hoping for news about the next generation of their family. Sho and his wife had married the previous November, and his parents were eager for grandchildren. She handed his mother an envelope. Inside was a Mother's Day card that proclaimed, "Best Mom Ever," with "Anbap," Dad in Bengali, written in. Sho's mom shot a glance at her daughter-in-law and quickly got excited. "They are pregnant," she thought. No. But tucked inside the card was another surprise. First, some Dewan history. Nearly 30 years ago, the family had lived a comfortable life in Bangladesh. Sho's father was a mechanical engineer, and his mother a teacher. But his parents suspected that prospects for their young son and daughter would be brighter in America. When Sho was 5, the family packed their bags and moved to Southern California. It was tough going at first. The couple's professional qualifications didn't transfer over here, and they had to take whatever menial jobs they could find. Sho's dad fried chicken at a KFC and mopped floors at a 7-Eleven. His mother worked at a casino. "They were doing anything just to put food on the table," Sho told People magazine. His parents never complained about their lot, nor did they push show to follow the almighty dollar. Instead, they encouraged him to pursue his dreams. They went back to school in their 40s, and over time, Sho's father got better-paying jobs with the post office and at a hospital. Eventually, the couple was able to afford to buy a home. Meanwhile, the personable Sho followed his parents' advice and launched his dream company, a career coaching business called WorkHap. His parents' faith in America had paid off. Their son was a success. But something was now nagging at Sho. His selfless parents, now retired, were still writing a monthly mortgage check. For Sho, it was time to give back. After all they'd endured, his mother and father deserved a leisurely life, not one freighted by debt. Back at the dining room table, inside the envelope, Sho's mother found a simple sketch of their house with "Our Home" written at the top. It was drawn on the back of a check. At first, Sho's parents were confused, and then it registered. Sho had written out a very large check that would cover the rest of their mortgage. "It was always a dream of mine," Sho says. "I'd love to take care of my parents, because they took care of us." A father gets a tattoo. "Today," wrote Eric Conkling on Instagram last August, "I got a tattoo that means more to me than anything else I'll ever put on my skin." The body art, which runs down his chest, is impossible to miss when his shirt is off. It's not of a rose, nor does it scream, "Mom." It's a tattoo of a long, angry-looking scar. It's jagged, horrific, and possibly the most beautiful thing you'll ever see. The tat is not just situated above the heart. It comes from the heart as well. About a year before he got inked, Conklin's world came crashing down. His son Bennett was born with a congenital heart defect. Over the next 30 days, Benny, as he's known, endured multiple surgeries to fix the defect. It was touch and go all the way, but the boy was a battler and survived his ordeal. Growing up with that scar would be the next battle he'd have to withstand, and Conklin didn't want him going it alone. At the Sunken Ship Tattoo Studio in Boonton, New Jersey, he handed the owner, Jimmy Ingram, a photo of Benny's scar and said, "Give me one of these." "It may seem extreme, but," says Conklin, "I wanted him to know he's never alone in this fight. His scar is his story of survival. Mine is a promise. Whatever he carries, I'll carry too." A farmer sows a proposal. If Will Henderson were a poet, he might have proposed to his longtime girlfriend, Steph Carter, by writing an ode to her eyes. But Henderson is a farmer in New South Wales, Australia. So he proposed in a way only a love-struck farmer could. It took 5 months to plant, grow, trim, shape, weed, and agonize over a special canola crop. Once it had bloomed in early September, Henderson and Carter, a teacher, boarded a small plane at his behest. She was expecting a flyover of some farmland, an activity she'd enjoyed in the past. But as they flew above the crops, rather than alfalfa or corn, she saw a field of bright yellow arranged in letters that were roughly 40 feet wide. All together it read, "Will you marry me?" "I thought he'd propose soon," Carter told the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, "but I wasn't expecting him to do it the way he did." Carter didn't need months of planning, shaping, and agonizing over her response. It was quick and to the point. Yes. A dog owner saves his best friend. Bonner Herring's morning ritual consisted of scanning the pond on his property in Southport, North Carolina, for an 8-foot-long alligator that had gotten into the habit of sunning itself on the shore before starting its day. If the coast was clear, Herring would let Strike, his 4-year-old black Labrador retriever, out to run around. But on June 16, 2025, Herring was distracted by garden work and forgot his usual check of the pond. Strike took off, running around without a care in the world, as dogs do. But there are things to be careful about in this world, as Strike and Herring soon discovered. About 45 minutes after he started gardening, Herring knew something was wrong. He told WWAY-TV, a local ABC affiliate, "I heard Strike let out a yell like I've never heard him yell before. Then came a splash, and Herring instinctively knew what it was. He ran toward the pond. Some 20 feet away, among the ripples on the surface of the water, Herring spotted Strike in the jaws of the alligator and struggling to keep his head above the waterline. A look of fear radiated from the dog's eyes as he was pulled farther away. That's all Herring had to see before jumping into the pond himself. Almost immediately, the bottom of the pond sloped down so deep that he couldn't stand. He swam until he reached Strike, who was held tight in the gator's teeth. Herring grabbed hold of Strike and tried pulling him free, vigorously kicking to keep himself afloat, but the gator wasn't letting go. Herring was trying to swim toward shore, and the gator was trying to swim across the pond. It was like we were stuck, Herring told the State Port Pilot newspaper. Suddenly, Herring and Strike were moving. The gator had loosened its grip, and Herring took advantage. But as they neared the shore, the alligator made a return visit, getting within feet of them, puffing up to make itself look larger and spooking the hell out of Herring. When it had had enough fun, the gator turned away, allowing Herring, with Strike in his arms, to scramble up onto terra firma. Strike barely survived the attack. His right femur was broken in three places, and he had puncture wounds and internal bleeding. Herring says he's just happy to have his friend back. He had this look of, "Please do something, Daddy," Herring told WWAY-TV. "I made the decision that I was not going home without him." We've run out of time for today's episode of Reader's Digest. Today's program is supported by the Durham Lions Club. We hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I'm Diane Edelman, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Reader's Digest is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.